नाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। सो वेरी वार्म वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू ऑनर्ड वैष्णवज गैदर्ड हियर टू सेलिब्रेट श्री बलराम जयंती। एक्चुअली वेन एवर मैनेजमेंट अनाउंसेस दैट डोंट पैनिक द रूफ इज नॉट गोइंग टू केव इन, दैट इज ओनली थॉट विच कम्स टू योर माइंड। सो ऑल दीज इयर्स वी वेर dancing and jumping on our temple floor. So obviously Lord Balaram must be holding it, and we are counting on his shakti to hold. He holds universes, so one temple hall is not a big issue for him. But the same Balaramji also gives intelligence that you do things in a proper way. So that's why our management decided to check whether it is okay or not. And generally they are conservative people who are structural engineers. Just like the weatherman always says, there is slight chance of rain today. So people carry umbrellas, and if there is no rain, they say, good. And if it rains, he says, look, I was accurate, wasn't I? So whether it rains or doesn't rain, we thank them. So the structural engineer said, no more than 500 people at a time, you can have a festival of, you know, singing, dancing or whatever. So then, obviously we are more than that. So therefore this new arrangement, hopefully in some weeks time some structural changes could be made and we can again celebrate our katha and kirtan in front of their lordships. So thank you very much for your cooperation. Balaram is the elder brother of Krishna, and there is a whole tattva as to his beauty, his relationship with Krishna, his pastimes. I have decided to just take one small tiny fraction of Balaram's greatness as to his dasya bhav, as to his feeling that I am a servant of Krishna. Being a servant is not a good thing in this world. Nobody likes to introduce himself or herself as, oh, I am their lowly servant. And why is that? Because the moment you say, I am a servant, there is a feeling that I can never enjoy. It is the master who always enjoys. So the understanding of spiritual servitude, or what exactly do we mean by being a servant of God? So Prabhupada in his books, he has given so many different angles as to being a servant is no ordinary thing. One sannyasi wrote a poem and he signed the poem. It was addressed to Krishna. Oh Krishna, please look at your dear devotee. And it was a nice poem, nice sentiments. And Prabhupada said, good, you keep on writing these poems, but generally in our Gaudiya lineage, we do not claim to be a devotee. Devotee is a very high position. We aspire to become a servant. That itself is a very high position. And Prabhupada gave the example of Mahaprabhu's prayer. Ai nanda tanuja patitam kinkaram. Mahaprabhu used the word kinkara. This has two vichhed, if you bifurcate the word. Kim is what, and kara is I should do. So a kinkar is one who always asks Krishna, what should I do? What should I do? What is the order for me? His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj has given Balram Katha many times, and one particular line of thought which I thought I will begin with is how the spiritual world has five kinds of relationships, five kinds of ras. The beginning is Shantaras. In Shantaras there is no actual communication because the devotee has taken a different form, like furniture or a cupboard, clouds or trees, lakes. Spiritual world everything is conscious, but this type of devotion you cannot express your thoughts because the role you have taken doesn't allow that. Doesn't mean the devotee is not happy or something. Devotee is happy. So Shanta, the next level is becomes Dasya. Here there is a spoken sentiment. You ask your master, what would you like? And the master gives feedback. This was good, that was not good. And then you improve, change, adjust. A level higher than that becomes Sakhya. This is a very strange kind of rasa. Why strange? Because the devotee starts to think on an equal footing. Now there is no more kind of a demand from God. In fact, God is seen as a friend. That's the very name, Sakhya. So there is so much of informality. Another level, and you have Vatsalya Bhav. This is even more striking. Our mundane intelligence cannot understand it. Rather than asking God for something, now the position is that God should ask something from me. Now why should he ask? Does he have any shortage? No. But the relationship is nourished because of that. And then the limit, the summit of this rasa is madhurya, where there is conjugal relationship, where there is the intimacy is the highest. All of these five are visible in our world in a very inverted, a perverted form. His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj gave an example and I like it very much. He said, just like a person is sick and is lying on his bed, and then a friend inquires. He says, oh, I never knew you were sick. Can I drop in? He says, all right. So on the evening, in the evening, the friend comes and sees. And he sees that the wife is giving him whatever medicine on time, a proper diet. His mother also is serving him. So the bed on which this person is sleeping is serving him in shantaras. If he tells the bed, thank you so much for bearing my weight, no reciprocation. If the bed is strong, it will bear it. If not, it will give way, whatever. The friend is serving in sakhyaras. The mother is serving in vatsalyaras. And the wife is serving in madhuryaras. A very, what we say in India, jugaad type of example. Just to make us understand that these relationships are there here. And we should explore in our hearts whether we are trying to get the same kind of rasa here. Then Bhagavatam assures us we will be disappointed. These rasas don't exist here. Only a reflection exists here. So Balaram, he comes and shows how much he loves Krishna in all five rasas. So we will see how he serves in Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakhyaras and Vatsalya. Sometimes in Chaitanya Charitamrit, the Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya are grouped together. And surprisingly, how can Balaram has a male body and how can he serve Krishna in conjugal ras? Well, Balaram means he has resources. So he expands himself as a gopi, as a manjari to be precise, and takes the name Ananga Manjari. So it is Balaram only, and he wants to serve Krishna. So she takes the form of Radharani's younger sister. So I found this beautiful explanation. This is teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada wrote this book because he wanted the world to understand Mahaprabhu's teachings. Five primary teachings are given here. So this is the last chapter, the Supreme Perfection. So who exactly are manjaris? So the personal associates of Radharani are called sakhis. If you go upstairs, you will find that Radhanath Maharaj has got these paintings done, both sides of our temple. As if you are facing Radha Gopinath, on your right side are all the boys. Right side are all the sakhis. And on your left side are all the coward boys. They are eight each. And they are the prominent ones. And then there are expansions of them. Expansions becomes millions and billions and countless actually. So her associates are called sakhis and her near assistants are called manjaris. So sakhis are Lalita Sakhi, Vishakha Sakhi, they are all sakhis. And then there are other devotees, spiritual bodies of course, even younger than the sakhis. Their age is even smaller. They are called the Manjaris. It is very difficult to express their dealings with Krishna because they have no desire to mix with Krishna or to enjoy him personally. This is the prime qualification. They have no desire that Krishna should do this to me or do that to me. Rather, they are always ready to help Radharani associate with Krishna. Their affection for Krishna and Radharani is so pure that they are simply satisfied when Radha and Krishna are together. Indeed, their transcendental pleasure is in seeing Radha and Krishna united. And then Prabhupada gives the analogy by which we can visualize. The actual form of Radharani is just like a creeper embracing the tree of Krishna. Lata. Sanskrit word for creeper is lata. So like a lata embraces a tree, that's how Radha and Krishna, they have their pastimes. And the damsels of Braj, the associates of Radharani, are just like the leaves and flowers of that creeper. So these manjaris, they are like the tree, the leaves and flowers of that creeper. So then Prabhupada goes on other topics. So this is how Balramji, I have begun from the top now, how he serves as Anang Manjari. Now we'll go again from the bottom up as to how he serves him in Dasya Ras. So to begin with, we shall begin the pastime from the 10th canto, 8th chapter, 22nd verse, where Raghupati Upadhyay, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he kind of set the scene. So this is text 21, 10th canto, chapter 8. Kalena Vrajatalpena Gokule Ramakeshavau Janubhyam Sahapanibhyam Ringamano Vijaratu. After a short time passed, both brothers, Ram and Krishna, began to crawl on the ground of Braja with their strength of their hands and knees and thus enjoy their childhood play. So Krishna when he comes, or Balram when he comes, they look, they behave just like ordinary toddlers, ordinary babies. So they are babies enough to make us feel kind of attracted to them in that form, and the next moment they may kill some demon. And they say, oh, he is not a baby. So it is interesting that when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj's questions are, if he is God, then why is he behaving like this? If he is God, how can he be worried? If he is God, how can he be angry? So these are the questions which you and me will get. And that's why Parikshit Maharaj is asking them. So just like what babies do, they crawl, they don't have strength. So that's what Krishna and Balaram are doing. So this is a purport, a very interesting one. One Brahmana devotee, actually it is Raghupati Upadhyay, but Prabhupada chooses to just call him a Brahmana devotee. Shrutim apare smritim itare bharatam anye bhajantu bhavabhita ahamya nandam vande yasyalinde param brahma. See the mood here. Let others, fearing material existence, worship the Vedas, the Vedic supplementary Puranas and Mahabharata. I shall worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the Supreme Brahman is crawling. Does it mean that study of Ramayana and Mahabharata is to be discounted? No, that's not the bhav. The bhav here is, for a highly exalted devotee, kaivalya, or merging into the existence of the Supreme, appears no better than hell, narakayate. But here one can simply think of the crawling of Krishna and Balaram in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj and always merge in transcendental happiness. As long as one is absorbed in thoughts of Krishna Leela, especially Krishna's childhood pastimes, as Parikshit Maharaj desired to be, one is always merged in actual Kaivalya. Kaivalya, the word has a connection with Keval. See, Keval means only, no mixture. So Kaivalya, according to the Mayavad theory, is no two, if you all become one. But the Vaishnava understanding is, no, You keep your independent identity, but don't use your independence. You keep your identity, but use your identity to serve Krishna. So the identity is not lost. Therefore, Vyasadeva compiles Srimad Bhagavatam, Lokasya Janato Vidvams Chakri Satvata Samhitam. So Vyasadeva compiles Srimad Bhagavatam under the instruction of Narada, so that anyone can take advantage of this literature, think of Krishna's pastimes, and always be liberated. So that's one of the goals when we hear Krishna Katha, when we discuss Krishna. Till that time, the Bhagavatam assures us you are liberated. Sometimes you say, I don't feel like that. Obviously, initially if somebody gives you a check for 1 crore rupees, you say, I don't feel rich. Correct, you have to encash it, take the money, build yourself something, or eat some food, or give a party, or whatever, then the enjoyment starts. So initially you may not feel like that. But does it not mean that you are not a crorepati? You got this thing, that means you are. But then the process begins. So, this is how great devotees, they understand the realm of Braja, as to what exactly is Braj. Like this year, we are again resuming our circuit of alternating between Mayapur and Vrindavan. This time there are 6,500 registered participants for our Kartik Yatra. And Krishna Balaram Temple also invites devotees for Prabhupada's Disappearance Day festival, and their estimate is about 7,500 of their guests. So it's going to be a very intimate festival with about 15,000, 14,000 devotees all gathered in Goshala area of Krishna Balaram Temple. Once Maharaj was asked that too many people in the Yatra. Maharaj said, no, don't think like that. Many devotees means more chance for service. So, as a Yatra manager, I am still trying to understand it with my brains. But at least the golden rule is given that more devotees means more service. So why do we go to such a crowded tract of land about 90-100 kilometers south of Delhi when we could be doing so many other things, so many other places? The understanding is this particular tract of land is that very land where Krishna and Balaram, they were walking, they were crawling. Soon we'll be hearing other things which they did there. But Braj, as we get down at Mathura and then take a rickshaw and go to Inter Vrindavan, it looks like any other town, village of UP or Maharashtra, Gujarat or whatever. It's just like a village. All acharyas, and in the case of Vrindavan, especially Gaudiya acharyas, have taken so much of pain to explain what this land is. One of the best things which I found myself is Prabhupada telling a disciple, there is a small mustard seed size cataract which is covering your eyes, pupils, and that's why you can't see anything. Remove that small cataract and you can see things as they are. So that's how a material body gets some cataract, and that's why we have these cataract surgeries. So this small mustard seed is the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. That's it. That is enough. It has enough power to cover everything. And then Vrindavan also appears to be any small place, a dirty place, that too. I was hearing a katha by Radha Govind Maharaj. He says that all the holy places for purification, which we call Tirtha, the word Tirtha has a connection with Tir, to go to the other part, other shore, par karna, to cross over, Tirtha. So Tirtha could be a body of water, a mountain, a garden or a temple, or a pure devotee's pastime place. That becomes a modern Tirtha. So all the Tirthas came, and Prayag, we went to Kumbh Mela. Some of us, we went to Kumbh Mela. So Prayag Raj, he has the identity of being Tirtha Raj. So Tirtha Raj Prayag was looking at all the various Tirthas coming and doing pranam to him, and he said, okay, okay, good, good, good. And a thought came in his mind that Vrindavan didn't come. Why? What happened? So he came to Krishna and said that, my Lord, it was nice of you to have this function. I could see that all these millions and trillions of Tirthas have come. Can I share a small complaint? So Krishna said, yes. Vrindavan didn't show up. And the mood was as if, you know, Vrindavan is some kind of special thing. Why? Vrindavan has also come. It's a Tirtha. Krishna looked at Prayagraj and said, do you know Vrindavan is not an ordinary Tirtha? It's my home. Of course Vrindavan doesn't need to come. How dare you have this mentality? You're looking at Vrindavan as if it's any other Tirtha. He was taken aback. And he said, hey, I have committed an offense. So Prayagraj was told that henceforth you will be living in Vrindavan like a donkey. He said, what? So next time you see donkeys in Vrindavan, they are Prayag. They are all Prayagraj personified. Now imagine if the donkeys are Prayagraj, then the monkeys and the everybody after that, they are also special. So be careful, but even if they are special, don't go and embrace them. The idea is, Vrindavan is not counted just like any Tirtha meant for giving you liberation from Paap. Vrindavan has nothing to do with Paap or Punya. It is beyond that. So that tract of land, what exactly is it? We go to Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Khanda, and under the guidance of Srila Vrindavandas Thakur, it's a slightly technical subject matter, please bear with me. I can assure you, I also read the whole thing for the first time, and I was surprised that there is so much of here. So this is Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Khanda, chapter 1, text 43. Murti bhede apane hayen prabhu das se sab lakshana avatarei prakash. Lord Balram appears in various forms as the servant of the Lord. He manifests these symptoms in his various incarnations. So this is the explanation given. The Supreme Lord Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Fountainhead means the srot, the ugamsthan, the origin. From him, Lord Balram is his second body. Again, it's a bit of a difficult thing. How do you explain to you and me that do we have a second body? No. The internet today allows you to have so many different avatars, they call it. They also call avatars. You have your Twitter handles. You have different email accounts. Sometimes people take 3 or 4 different names, and in one chat forum they are pro one topic and the same guy is against one topic, and they feel happy that, hey, how I have cheated everybody. You are cheating only yourself. You cannot expand yourself just like God does. In some villages, they used to have these village fairs, and they would have this house of mirrors. Anybody know what is that? House of mirrors. So you go there, and suddenly you find yourself 20, 30 forms. And you say, ha ha. You move your hand, and all these hands go up. So although the living entity tries in various ways to imitate Krishna, it is Krishna actually who shows how things are done. So Balaram is called his second body. They are both one and the same identity. They differ only in form. He is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan. He assumes five other forms to serve Lord Krishna. These are the Vishnus. There is another description coming. I won't go there. He assumes five other forms. So the same Balaram is Lord Nityananda, the companion of Lord Gaurasundar. There is one marginal potency known as the Jiva. Mahasankarshan is the shelter of all Jivas. Sankarshan is the original shelter of the Purusha, from whom this world is created and in whom it dissolved. That Sankarshan who is transcendental pure goodness is a partial expansion of Nityananda Balaram. Balaram is a counterform of Govinda. Balaram's own expansion is called Mahasankarshan, and his fragment, the Purusha, is counted as a Kala, or a part of a plenary portion. Garbhodakshayi and Kshirodakshayi are both called Purushas. They are plenary portions of Karnadakshayi Vishnu, the first Purusha who is the abode of all the universes. So, in this way, the Acharyas say that how great Balaram is, for that you have to understand how great the Vishnus are. And they are just simply a Kala form. So, we are talking of the fragment of the Mahapurusha who appears as different incarnations and tries to come here and vanquish the principles of irreligion. His unlimited opulences cannot be counted. That Vishnu is but a part of a part of a plenary portion of Lord Nityananda, who is the source of all incarnations. That same Vishnu in the form of Lord Shesha holds the planets upon his heads, although he does not know where they are, for he cannot feel their existence on his heads. That Ananta Shesh is the devotee incarnation of Godhead. He knows nothing but service to the Lord. Now we come to the main part. With his thousands of mouths, he sings the glories of Lord Krishna. But although he always sings in that way, he does not find an end to the qualities of the Lord. So how does Balaram serve Krishna? Balaram serves Krishna in these following forms. The umbrella, the chhatra, the slippers, Krishna's slippers, bedding, pillow, garments, the resting chair, the residence, the sacred thread, and the throne. All these, the land of Vrindavan is also an expansion of Balaram only. So, he is thus called Shesh. What does it mean Shesh? He has attained the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. He takes many forms for the service of Krishna and he serves the Lord. Lord Balaram played with the Lord in three different modes, as Guru, friend and servant. And of course, that same Balaram came as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. But that's another set of Leela. Today we will concentrate on Balaram Katha. So now, Krishna and Balaram are playing in the courtyard. We all know that this courtyard is non-different than Lord Balaram's body. Text 22 of this 8th chapter. Tavangri yukma manukrishya sasripata sarisrapantau gosha praghosha ruchiram brajakardameshu tannadarishta manasavanusrutya lokam mukdha prabhitavat upayeturanti matro. When Krishna Balaram, with the strength of their legs, crawled in the muddy places created in Braj. Braj is a pasturing ground. What could be there in a pasturing ground where cows are kept, bulls are kept? There could be places where agricultural activities are taken. And wherever there are cows and bulls, there has to be cow dung and cow urine. So, this is that culture which took cow dung and cow urine as one of the main ingredients of life in a village. Cow dung, it's already available. Cows eat 5-6 times a day. Sometimes you feel they only do one thing, they eat and they pass dung. Why do they eat so much? They are meant to be giving this cow dung for human society. And therefore, the courtyards would be having smearing of cow dung, the walls would be having cow dung cakes, gori, it's called in Marathi, goriya, gori. That would be kept on the wall, and when it dried, it can be used as fuel. So, at least in Braj, there is no shame, or there is no feeling that, like one small girl from South Mumbai here, obviously has never seen cows or whatever. So when we are discussing Braja pastimes, she said, "I have a question." "Yeah." I said, "What's the question?" "Isn't cow dung the potty of a cow?" I said, "Yeah, of course it is." She said, "Ah, then how do you touch it?" I said, "Because it's of a cow, it's pure." So unless elders, we do cow seva, and we treat cow dung and cow urine as its dignity demands, how can our younger generation understand it? So Krishna and Balram, they are crawling in the muddy places of Braja. Their crawling resembled the crawling of serpents. Sarisripantau. Just like snakes crawling. And as they are crawling, ghosha praghosha ruchiram, their tinkling ankle bells, they are making a sound. Everybody is attracted. What's happening? And these two toddlers, they go crawling. They don't have strength to walk. They can just crawl. They go to some stranger and they catch, whether it is the dhoti of a gentleman or the sari or the gopi dress of a gopi, thinking that at that age every gentleman looks to be like your father, or every woman appears to be a mother, and then they would look at them with that kind of anticipation, and then they would realize, "Hey, it's not my mother, this is not my father." And then this feeling of fear, tannada rishta manasa anusasya lokam mugdha prabhitavat. They are exhibiting fear. Like all those mothers, you know, babies at a certain age, even if you keep them down, they start crying. Is it not? And sometimes if you show in a crowd, "Here is your father," they don't have that kind of a vision to understand where exactly. Why this happens? Because Krishna and Balaram, they are Supreme Lord themselves, but they are drawing out the emotions of Vatsalya. This is the reason why these pastimes are enacted. So they used to follow the people as if going to their mothers, but they saw that they are other people, they became afraid and returned to their real mothers. And all the Braj is like clustered homes. That means many people live in a particular area. It's huge from the spiritual angle to say that. But to see this pastime, all the neighbors would come in their balconies, or they would come out and they would see. And this would give them so much pleasure. Just seeing them crawling in cow dung and cow urine. Then Shukdev Goswami says, Tanmataro nija suto grinayasnu vantyau पंकांग रागरु चिराव पग्रीय दोर्भ्याम दत्वा स्तनम प्रपिपतोस्म मुखम निरीक्षा मुग्ध स्मिताल्प दशनम ययतु प्रमोदम. Dressed with muddy earth mixed with cow dung and cow urine, the babies look very beautiful. And when they went to their mothers, both Yashoda and Rohini picked them up with great affection, embraced them, allowed them to suck the milk from their breast. While sucking the breast, the babies smiled and their small teeth were visible. Their mothers, upon seeing these beautiful teeth, enjoyed great transcendental bliss. The only purpose of Vrindavan is happiness. We have almost anybody in India who is pursuing spiritual life, they know this word, Sachidananda. There are so many Swamis whose names are Sachidananda Swami. But what does Sat, Chit and Ananda actually mean? Sat means that thing can never be destroyed. Time and space cannot destroy it. Chit, it means that particular object or that particular person, there is full awareness. There is no time when gloom or depression or panic attack or anything can erode your mindset. Your intelligence is intact. That's the meaning of being Chit. And Ananda, that as we discuss in our Bhagavad Gita class, it has some specific qualities. Once begun, it cannot stop. Once begun, it only has to continue increasing. And once begun, it cannot have any other adulteration. See, if any activity you have done so far has given you these three attributes, eating, once begun, after some time it stops. Once begun, after some time it gives dwindling happiness. At one point of time it gives negative happiness. You may vomit everything out. Of course, that may be another sign of happiness. At least I got rid of it. But then you pay the medical bills and then the misery comes. So this Ananda is never available in this material world. But it is available in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. I'll take one last verse just for the sake of understanding. This is the text 28. Krishnasya gopyo ruchiram viksha kaumara chapalam srinvantya kilatan matur iti hochu samagataha. Observing the very attractive childish restlessness of Krishna, all the gopis in the neighborhood to hear about Krishna's activities again and again would approach Mother Yashoda and speak to her as follows. So what they speak is like a complaint. Yashoda, why don't you control your kids? Although Rohini is the mother of Balram, he is called Rohini Nandan, Rohini Tanaya. These two mothers would take care of them, Yashoda and Rohini. And the Acharyas have described that Yashoda's love is actually much more thicker. So, it's like just a few days ago, Krishna and Balram were crawling. And suddenly now, they are walking. Suddenly they got strength. And what they do with that strength? They go to all these households. They steal yogurt. They steal milk. They steal butter. It is described by our Goswamis that not a single household in Braja, not a single household in Braja was exempted from Krishna's stealing activity. He stole from each and every home. Why was that? Because they all wanted it. So this stealing, it cannot be compared to any, like we sometimes like to read about thieves stealing something, isn't it? We have stories of 40 chor and 40 thieves and so many other thieves, and there are so many ways in which we see, here's the expert thief. And we get attracted. Oh, he's an expert thief. How did he steal things? Of course, others, if you lose something, then you don't feel happy about that. Then the question the acharyas ask is, how did the Braj gopis feel happy? They would see to it that Krishna and Balaram would come and steal, and then they would get a chance to complain. So, Krishna's stealing activities, the height of it was when he broke that dadhi bhandam, the yogurt pot, in his own home. Mother Yashoda caught him. That's the celebrated Damodar Leela. And then she tied him. She tied him to a mortar, Ukhal, who was an accomplice in the crime. Isn't it? Chor and chor ka companion, they are both chor. They're both thieves. They both get punished. So the Ukhal was punished of getting tied to Krishna, and Krishna was punished by getting tied to the mortar. But then he started moving. The mortar was like this, and Krishna was crawling like this. At one point of time, the mortar became like this. It happens. And Krishna started crawling through two tall Arjuna trees. And his friends were looking at this whole thing. Some friends were crying that our friend is being tied. Some were saying, he deserves it. It's too naughty. They are sakhas, so they have that informality. And crash! Those trees crashed. The boys were looking at it. What happened? Two demigodly personalities came out of that, started offering prayers. And Krishna was just looking at them nonchalantly. They said, we are sorry, and then blah, 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 and then you are great, and you are beyond these three modes of material nature, you are the Lord of everything, and let us continue to be your servants. Krishna blessed them, and they left. So much so that the Leela has now gone to its summit, but Krishna is still tied. So Balaramji walks in, and he looks at the whole situation, and he says, hey, who did this? And the friend say, Mata, Yashoda Maiya did this. He said, really? This is serious. This cannot be allowed. So he goes inside and asks for Maiya. He says, please come here. And she says, what? He says, why is she so worked up today? Yashoda Maiya is very angry. She had to punish him. How dare you tie my brother like this? As such, she's already worked up. She is not in a mood to give any explanation. And Balaramji starts giving a big explanation. He is Swayam Bhagavan. I am his second body. I support all these universes. We are the source of all incarnations. So she says, what? He says, this Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He says, oh, really? And who are you then? He says, I serve him as Ananta Shesh. I also bring forth all incarnations. She picks up a stick and says, so all incarnations have to come in my household? Let me see how much of an incarnation you are. She picks up a stick and he says, my God. He runs away. What kind of devotees are these Brajavasis? Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, he wrote an article saying that most people pray to God, Brajavasis pray for God. Most people pray to God that, you know, keep my job or get me a new job or a new husband or a wife or a car or a bungalow or money or whatever. That's what normally people pray to God. Brajavasis, they pray for God's health, for Krishna's well-being. And our acharyas say, this is not a cheap sentiment. It is the thickest sentiments of love. Now love, so many people can say, I love. The test is when there is no reciprocation and the selfless service continues. In a lecture, Prabhupada says, you may go to a shop and say, I love your jewelry here. You may go to Tribhuvandas, Bhimji Zaveri here nearby and say, I love this shop. I love this jewelry. Oh, it's so beautiful. I can't really tell you how beautiful it is and how exquisite it is. And he said, all right, you have any cash? That's one thing I don't have today. Otherwise, I have all love, appreciation and everything for this jewelry. He said, get out. He said, but I'm appreciating it. I like it. Just liking it, appreciating it doesn't make you a customer. Roda. Where is cash? They say in the West, in God we trust. So one hotel had this thing, in God we trust, everybody else cash. So you have to have cash to become a customer. So then the understanding is, so then I am not exactly respected. It is my cash which is respected. That is the real customer. That is the real qualification. I am not the qualification. But in Vrindavan, that love that is always there, our way of performing our sadhana or chanting Hare Krishna, following principles, coming together, these sessions where we hear Krishna Katha, Balaram Katha, is penny by penny, 5 paise at a time, but we are putting it in our piggy bank. And when that thing matures, our acharyas assure, you also can taste that love. So Vrindavan's love certainly is most striking, most surprising. Here you have Yashoda Mai chasing Balaram, saying that, why all these incarnations have to take place in my household. So Balaram actually wanted to go and untie Krishna. But when he saw Mother Yashoda's mood, he said, I won't do it. So Krishna had to wait till Nanda Baba came. Srila Prabhupada struggled so hard in India, then he went to the West, and then again India was calling him back. And he was surprised. He was talking to one temple deities. Why are you calling me back? This is my kshetra. I have come to the West. We say, Paschatya Desha Tarine. So why am I being called again? But Krishna did insist. And Vrindavan, Mayapur, Mumbai and Hyderabad, at one point of time, these were the four major centers in which Prabhupada was personally supervising the growth, establishment, policies, everything. Mumbai was special because of the fight with that crafty person who tried to cheat devotees. Mayapur was special because of a huge vision of a big city. But Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, is my home. Mumbai is my office. Mayapur is my place of worship. But Vrindavan is my home. And therefore, when that family, a very pious family, Saraf, they offered that plot of land, it was near Raman Reti. Reti, sand, like you see in Chopati Beach. But Raman Reti, pleasurable sand, and that is the place where Krishna and Balaram would sport. They would do their leelas. So Prabhupada said, we will have a Krishna Balram temple here. So we have Krishna Balram in the center, Gornitai on our left, and Radha Shamchandra Lalita Vishakha on our right. The way in which Balramji appeared, you can see he is very happy. He is keeping his arm resting on Krishna. It's a very sweet kind of a transaction going on there. So one day, I think it was Jamuna Devi, she said, Balram is so strong. He looks very strong, see. And he's the elder brother. Elder brothers are called Dau in Braja language. So he's Dauji. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj and other devotees were thinking, but Krishna is the source of everybody's strength. It is Krishna who is stronger. No, but it is Balram. Look at how he is strong. So no, it is Krishna. So Krishna, Balram, this debate went to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, Balram is strong because he is called Bala, Baladev, Balabhadra. And then he added, and Krishna is stronger because he is resting Balram's strong arm on his body. So basically, the debate goes, it's an infinite loop. He's stronger. Now with our short time at our hand, I would like to discuss maybe one or two pastimes in detail. So Krishna and Balram, after some time, there was a committee, Nanda, Upananda, Nanda Nandan, these brothers, they followed Nanda Maharaja's elder brother, who said that so many demons are coming here, it's not a safe place. Let us go to the inner quarters of Braj, and there is a nice place called Vrindavan. So today what we go is Vrindavan, which is the biggest of vanas. And there are also so many other small vanas. Yesterday, Baldev Prabhu, our Baldev Prabhu, he shared a small tidbit of information. He said that all the forests were on the one particular side of Jamuna, which is Balram's Leela places, you will always have deities of Balram there. So Bhandirvan is a deity. So that is why we can appreciate Vrindavan Dham more. Those ones, Talvan, there is a deity of Balramji. So the decision was taken to move, and Krishna and Balram, they were put into carts by the cowherd people, cowherds, and they entered Vrindavan. And now began the most ecstatic part of Brajalila, that is Krishna and Balram going every day for pasturing, for taking the cows. First the calves, small calves, and then the cows. When Krishna became a Gopa, that is a celebration of Gopashtami. There is Balramji's participation in a Leela. He is not the main kind of actor there. But the Brahma Vimohan Leela, very shortly to narrate that, Lord Brahma was told, the Parabrahma, the Supreme Lord whom you worship, all the Vedas cannot fathom his greatness. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is now playing like a small coward boy. Now you may say, I understand. So many years I am able to understand. Why Brahma cannot understand with four heads? It's not a question of can or can't. Basically, nobody can. Only when Krishna allows, we can. And when Krishna doesn't allow, we can't. In one lecture, Prabhupada says, oh, there is so much of shine. See, there is so much of shine, shine, sunshine. There is no other planet which can give sunshine. So light means sunlight. Shine means sunshine. So consciousness means Krishna consciousness only. Full stop. If Krishna doesn't allow you to become conscious, you can't do anything. So when Brahmaji came down to check whether is he actually God? And Krishna says, all right. I mean, it didn't even take that much time. The drama was set. Yoga Maya was put into action. So Brahma came down. That particular moment was when the boys were deciding, should we sit here, should we sit there, where do we take prasad? And one boy said, hey, the calves are going farther and farther away. So some are saying, let's take care of them. And here is Krishna. He's saying, don't worry, don't worry. I'll take care of them. You open your lunch boxes, whatever they had brought with them. And then they opened it up. And my God, that's such a big festival. Somebody saying, Gopal, this is something which you like. My mom just packed it specially for you. And somebody said, here is something which you like. They are friends, they are hungry, but they are more interested in feeding Krishna than eating themselves. And finally, one friend says, here is something which you can never resist. Very, very succulently made dahi bhat. The yogurt is just the right constituency. And the rice, very nice and fluffy. The yogurt is very sweet. So he gave Krishna. Out of enthusiasm, Krishna put the whole thing in his mouth. And he could not practically speak or do anything. And that was a time when one friend decided to and then the whole thing sprayed. And Brahmaji is thinking, this is the Lord? This looks just like village kids playing and enjoying. So this was reciprocation. Like there was, Krishna did this to somebody, that boy did to Krishna, and then it was, so you are saying, how can this be? And then came that fateful moment when he decided, let me check. So Krishna had gone out to check whether the calves and cows are any farther away. All the boys are here, and within one moment or even less than that, Brahma put all of them into illusion. Kidnapped them. Took them in a cave. Locked it up. And he says, ha, now let me see. Now this all took few moments. So Krishna came back, saw there are no friends, no cows or calves. And of course, no one needs to tell Krishna. He immediately understood this is Brahma. Within that span of half a moment, there was another set of gopas and calves. So Brahma came back to see the fun. What fun? He says, the party is going on as usual. They are laughing, they are dancing, they are doing so many things. He says, maybe I actually did not kidnap them. So he went back. There they are, sleeping soundly. So he says, who are them then? So he came back. No. This must be real. No, this must be real. Ding, 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 ding. Computer hang. Can't think about anything. This particular time slot from Brahma's point of view was few moments. Earthly time was one full year. So normally Krishna and Balaram, when they would do so many pastimes, the boys would come back home and say, you know what Krishna did today? You know what Balaram did today? But the discussion didn't take place for 1 year. Shukdev Goswami also is so intelligent. He just says, this discussion took place after a year. And Parikshit Maharaj, alert listener, he says, wait. Why did this take place Why did the discussion take place after a year? And Chudaya Maharaj says, you are very intelligent king. Maharaj, the reason was, Krishna became the calves, Krishna became the gopa boys. Just like there are twins. But still there are so many differences. Sometimes they are, you can't see, you can't decide who's who. But their likes and dislikes and so many things are different. But here Krishna became exactly like that particular boy or that particular calf. No difference. All the gopis of Braj wanted Krishna as their son. For one full year, Krishna became their son. All the cows wanted Krishna as their calf. For one full year, Krishna became their calf. And one day, as the calves were in the pasturing ground, suddenly, now when a cow gives birth, after some time, she weans away the calf. And if there is another calf, the younger one gets the right to drink milk. The older one is kind of moved away. No, not you, it's for your younger brother. But this time the cows were not eager to feed their younger ones, but they were offering their milk to the older ones who are not supposed to drink milk. And the cowherd men were surprised. They tried to hold the calves. They could not. And then the cowherd men came and they saw their own boys. They thought, why am I getting the satisfaction that I am embracing Krishna? Nobody could understand. Many, many years ago, Maharaj was giving a class and somebody asked a question, can God get bewildered anytime? Maharaj said, no. There is no bewilderment for Krishna. Not possible. Radha Govind Maharaj gives another Shastric evidence. The sun can never experience night. Wherever the sun goes, there is day. Saraswati can never experience what is being an idiot. She cannot experience ignorance. She cannot experience idiocy. She is Saraswati. She has to have knowledge. Ganga cannot experience what is the meaning of pollution. You may say, hey, what are you saying? Look at Ganga today. But Ganga never gets polluted. Ganga masam na khalu budbuda phena pankair. You may get some kind of things there, but Ganga water doesn't get polluted. Now Ganga, the original river, she doesn't get polluted. She still has that potency to purify. So Krishna also can never experience what is illusion. But here as Balaram, Krishna experiences the illusion. So Balaram says, why is this happening? Is this Maya? Whose Maya? Is it Rakshasi Maya? Normally Rakshasas or Asuras are interested in Maya. Maya basically means mystic power. Like you and me, we may use our mobile phones and we may say so many things, so many apps. This is Manavi Maya. We may send spacecraft. We may use missiles. Sorry to disappoint you, but in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no way that Manavi Maya is extolled or praised anywhere. During Mohini Murthy's pastime, the thing comes, it's she Devi Maya, Siddha's Maya, Asurik Maya. I said, go on, talk about human Maya. They said, nay, human beings ka Maya kya hai? So basically, our human efforts add scientific progress. There are no takers for it outside anywhere. For those of you who are scientists here, few years ago the scientists of some laboratory, they decided to tell the outside world, aliens or whoever, that we are very advanced in science and technology and here is the double helix, our DNA discovery. So they put that in some kind of a image, some information, and they send it out there. Check it out. This is how we are advanced. No response came. They said, idiots out there, nobody knows. Maybe we are the most advanced. Until one scientist came and said, what if they understood our level of advancement and decided this is their highest level of development? No need to go there. There is a possibility. So, at least Bhagavatam point of view, Manavi Maya has nothing. So, we will now take the last segment of my presentation here. One famous name of Balram is Pralambari. Pralamba is the demon. Ari is the Shatru. So, Shukdev Goswami sets the scene. In fact, this is one thing I like with Radha Govind Maharaj's presentation. He says, Shukdev Goswami kind of takes a video camera, like we have these three video cameras. So Krishna, Balaram, they are leaving Vrindavan and they are entering the pasturing forest. So here is Shukdev Goswami with a live connection video camera. And he tells us about the way in which Krishna and Balaram are walking, how they are singing, how they are dancing. Sometimes, as you see, the video camera looks at a procession. The middle part of the procession, the cameraman stays there. He stays there till the whole procession goes ahead. And then he tells you how it looks from behind. Is it not? So that's how some verses, they show us the beauty of Vrindavan Dham. So, just like Mumbai has two seasons, hot and very hot. So, when it is a little bit very hot in Vrindavan, Shukdev Goswami says, don't worry. The hot season is described as Vasanta Iva. Still it is spring. Why? Because Vrindavan also is called Ritumat. All Ritus are there simultaneously. Some places it is raining, some places it is cold, some places there is lot of sunshine. So all these various fruits, flowers, creepers of that particular season, they are in profuse supply over there. So, there is a sound of the waterfalls of Vrindavan. There are many mountains, not just one Giriraj. Giriraj also has many peaks and there is waterfall. So that waterfall, the wind carries the vapor of that waterfall and as it touches you, sometimes you have to go in a hot season to Rishikesh. I experienced this last year and it is hot. But the Ganga Jal coming from Devprayag, it's very cool. And in the evening, when the air just like caresses you, it feels like, oh, so happy. So this is a constant feature of Vrindavan. The waterfall sounds and the cricket. What do you call in Hindi or Marathi, we call it Ratkida. Cricket, it makes a sound. Especially if you are in some place which is near a forest, and then that kitter, kitter, kitter is going on. More miserable is the fact that you can't see where it is. You may say, theek hai, awaaj kar raha hai, theek hai, but from where this fellow is making this sound? I used to feel they are shouting, but then somebody said, they don't shout. They are just rubbing some parts of their body, that makes that sound. I don't know, maybe somebody did some PhD subject research on that. But that's the story. So this is very cooling and pleasing. The rivers, they drenched the banks so that the banks are still soft and wet. The sun's rays, Anshu Matra, described as poison, Visha Iva. The sun's scorching rays in the hot season, but they cannot dry or parch the earth, nor they can cause discomfort to any inhabitants of Vrindavan. So, flowers are blossoming, peacocks and bees are singing, cuckoos and cranes are cooing. This is the scene in which Krishna is about to enter Braj. The daily routine is Krishna and Balaram are woken up. Yashoda and Rohini, they bathe them, they dress them. Mother Yashoda always likes to dress Krishna. Although he is going for his duty, cowherd boy duty. Shishir likes to dress him nicely. He has his pitambar, he has his cloth belt, and then she starts decorating him. While decoration is going on, some friend may come near the door, and she says, "Come in, come in, come in." Then that friend also assists in decoration. While the friend is decorating, Krishna pulls that friend's shikha, and she says, "Hey, don't do any mischief now." Mother Yashoda dresses Krishna to her full satisfaction, and then comes the dreaded part. Now he's going. So she comes out. She comes in the courtyard. All his friends are there. They all pool their calves. And as they leave, the gopis are also seeing Krishna go away. This is heartbreak time for them. They watch till Krishna's friends and the whole thing, the dust raised by the cows, envelops the whole atmosphere and nothing can be seen. Till that time, nobody leaves. Then they all go back home. Somehow or other, they engage in some daily duties. And now the celebration begins for the friends. They all come in the dense part of the forest. And then the friends decide that this decoration is not that good. The first decoration was in Vatsalaras, but now it is Sakharas. So they remove some of the jewelry. He says, "Hey, why you need jewelry in forest?" So although Krishna is looking gorgeous, not because of the ornaments, Bhagavatam is very clear, Bhushana Bhushanam Angam. The ornaments become beautiful because they are on the body of Krishna. Just see. You and me, we say, "How nice this t-shirt looks on you." And he say, "He praised me." He didn't praise you. He praised the t-shirt. He said, "How nice the t-shirt looked." Not you. So, this opposite happens with Krishna. The ornaments become beautiful. Now they have twigs, newly grown leaves, flower buds, and then dhatu. Vrindavan, Braj area, so many places, you dig little bit, or sometimes it comes up. You have blue, green, emerald colored earth. They take that and then another decoration starts. The boys decorate Krishna again and Balram again. And then they start dancing, they start singing. There is flutes, kartal. I just learned that kartal means our kartal. Also kara. This also is kartal. In case you don't have the metal things, you can just play with your hands. And that's what the boys do. Now Sanatan Goswami describes that to see this whole thing, devatas come in disguise. So the games Krishna and Balaram played, Brahmanai. Brahmanai means whirling around somebody and then suddenly keeping him awake, suddenly releasing that boy, and he gets, oh, that is called Brahmanai, Langhanai, jumping over each other, Kshepai, picking somebody and throwing balls or stones at each other, not to hurt, by the way, Asphotan, slapping shoulders, or sometimes some of our devotees also have this habit. If you meet them, you have to be a little bit 2 feet away because they're, "Ha ha, Haribol, how are you? Oh, oh, sore knee, please, please." But then it's out of love. That's called Asphotan. Vikarshanai, dragging each other. Niyudhena, arm wrestling. And last is Kakapakshadhara, grabbing each other by the hair. Again, everything was done in a sport. It's Leela. I catch my mind telling me so many times, is it not too much? Too much happiness? This is the disease. Till the time you feel that Braj means too much happiness, there has to be some misery. Some people say, actually, if there is misery, you can appreciate happiness more. Really? You are fasting and it is a feasting day today, but somehow this is the example one devotee gave me. You have sweet rice, do you feel there has to be some stool next to it just to appreciate sweet rice? No! You want it pure! So till the time our mind is attached to this kind of thing, we won't get that happiness. But here it is, that pure happiness. While this singing, dancing, praising each other, applauding, appreciating is going on, one boy was absent. His mother had kept him for some duties. Pralamba, the demon, see how intelligent they are. He could understand who was absent. He took that particular boy's form. And that day, the game was, Krishna and Balaram were dividing the boys into two parties. You know, they hold hands, say, you choose one, then you choose this. The whole party was divided. And they would climb on the top of the shoulders of each other. And they would wrestle. Whoever would defeat, the defeated party has to carry the victor on his shoulders. Krishna got defeated. So Krishna carried Sridhama. Rishabha carried Bhadrasena. And Pralamba carried Balaram. He wanted to kill first Krishna, but then he thought, maybe Balaram is a better target. What a mistake. So he carried him, and carrying means from one place to another, and then the next pastime begins. But here Balaramji saw, right now you are the small boy, now we are in the thick of the forest, how come he became so big? He was huge. Pralamba. And then he saw, maybe he wants to kill me, because this demon was trying to snatch Balaram from his back and dash him on a rock. Now here is an important thing. At that time, Balaramji's thought was, in the pretext of taking me away, is another demon attacking Krishna? See the Dasya Bhav. See this single-mindedness in serving Krishna. Even while he was being threatened, he was thinking, is Krishna's life is in danger? And I said, no, 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 Krishna can never be in danger. So he took that, the Pralambasu tried to snatch Balaram, dash him on the rock. Balaramji just caught hold of him and dashed him in turn and killed him. And of course, the devas, here, this particular passage, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the devas came as ordinary gopas. They were not staying in Braj, but they came there just to see the pastime and they would appreciate. And this is something which they were seeing, that just now they were playing like ordinary boys and suddenly a demon comes, and then Krishna and Balaram, whatever the case, they kill them. That's how Pralambasur died. Because Balaram himself killed him, he got mukti. And that's how Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book and Shukadeva Goswami in that chapter ends that, may Pralambari Balaram guide you, protect you on your path of Krishna consciousness. Shri Balaram ji ki, Shri Krishna Balaram ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Tai Gaura Chandra ki, Shri Gopal ji ki, Shri La Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaura Premanande.